Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, as we predicted on the show yesterday, the president of peace, peace through strength, President Donald J. Trump, appears to have everything right on track. Just as predicted yesterday morning, President Donald J. Trump holding this gathering of European leaders and even Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and everything appears to be right on track. We're talking about that and much more here on Montana Talks. We've got John Jackson, the Joker from X, here with us on this Tuesday as well. All right, now my phone is buzzing at me here. All right, John, yeah, so I want to start by talking about this illegal alien truck driver in Florida, Harjinder Singh. I don't know if I pronounced his name right or not. He's in the United States illegally. His work authorization was rejected by the Trump administration back in September of 2020. The Biden regime comes in, approves the work authorization for the illegal alien, and then Gavin Newsom in his state of California gives the illegal alien a driver's license. Now three people are dead after this illegal alien basically pulled a U-turn from the far right lane of the interstate in Florida. And the worst part of this whole video, I think that a lot of people are pointing out, is the guy had zero reaction when he killed these three people when they slammed into his U-turning a big rig here.
Yeah, and that's the thing, a lot, you know, having lived overseas for 10 years and seeing the driving of people from third world countries, that's just a part of their culture. It's what they do. And driving is pretty much considered a death sport. And it's all about me. There is no courtesy. There is no rules of the road. It is only what I can get away with. And sorry to say, I said that the other day when this thing first came out. These people are all over the roads right here in Montana. I see them when I go to the particular truck stop over in Three Forks that's right off the interstate over there. You see them in the truck stop. These very same people look just like that guy in that video, man. They're everywhere. And I tell you, their driving sucks. If you've ever been out on the nowadays out there, these truckers, they're not Jerry Reed anymore. Trust me.
Well, and now we have it's not a new incident. It's not a new case. This case goes back to December of 2004, where tragically, or 2024, I apologize, this past December, where a retired Coast Guard veteran, longtime volunteer firefighter and EMT from Joliet, Montana, was killed in a collision within a fatal crash on Interstate 90. Well, now we know that charges have now been filed. The driver of a commercial vehicle involved in that fatal crash on I-90 is now being charged with negligent homicide. His name? Satyabjit Parmar, who has also been charged with five counts of felony criminal endangerment. And so, we'll talk more about that story. Quick break here on Montana Talks. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. We'll talk more about this story and others right after this.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so back to it here with John Jackson, the Joker from X. So, yeah, this story came out from KTVQ Television yesterday, the CBS affiliate in Billings. Of course, this story came out yesterday, but this story came out. But because this updated news story came out the same week of this fatal crash involving an illegal alien, I think it's getting even more attention now. John, I don't know if you saw this KTVQ.com story, but driver of semi-trailer involved in fatal crash charged with negligent homicide. This was Satyabjit Parmar, according to documents filed in Yellowstone County District Court. Apparently, their investigation found that he had falsified the electronic logbook device. An investigation found that the crash was, quote, consistent with that of a drowsy driver. Now, I did follow up at the county attorney's office to find out what, if anything, we know about the immigration status or nationality or citizenship status of the driver who's now been charged in this incident. But to your point, John, everybody's been talking about the fact that, that, and especially our truck driver friends that listen to the show have been talking about the fact that, yeah, you see a lot of foreign drivers on the roadways driving these big rigs, whether legal or illegal, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like I was telling you before, I'll go through that one truck stop over there at Three Forks to fill up and get a snack or whatever. I'm in there for all of, you know, maybe 90 seconds, 2 minutes, and you walk in there and you can't understand the language of half the drivers in there. And half of them look exactly like that one guy out of Florida. I'm telling you, these people are everywhere. I mean, just go to a truck stop sometime. Next time you're out on the road on a trip, gas up at one of these truck stops, and you'll see what I mean.
Well, I was driving a big like moving truck, and so I had to get a tire changed, and it was interesting. While I was sitting in there was a big rig driver in there too, and I could hear him speaking on the cell phone. And I didn't get a chance. He left before I got a chance to try to talk to him and engage with him. But I could have sworn he was speaking Somali, because, you know, when I was in East Africa, you know, you pick up a few words here and there, and Ethiopian or Somali or Swahili or whatever. So it sounded very Somali-esque from what I was hearing. Now, he could be legal. He could speak English. I just, you know, it may have just heard him talking to his friends. But it definitely piqued my interest because, yeah, you're right. You see it all the time. On the phone lines now, I'm glad he was able to get through and give us a call. We've got Jim in Malta, Jim Verhoff. For those of you who don't know Jim, great guy. He's got a lot of background in the trucking business and, you know, as an owner-operator, independent owner-operator. In fact, Jim, you were on the board, the national board for the Independent Owner Operators Association, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's right, Aaron. Good morning. Morning, John, if you can hear me. 12 years on the board of directors of the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. I've got about 42 years in the transportation industry, 31 on the trucking side and 11 on the train side. So I got a little background in it, but this issue has been near and dear to my heart for a long time. With the current administration, they basically re-implemented the 49 CFR 391.11 Part 2B, which is the English-speaking requirement for commercial truck drivers in the United States. Previously, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, the CVSA, which is an NGO, who sets the on-the-surface criteria for the FMCSA, just a little background on it, and I've spoken of it before, but Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, but they set the on-the-surface criteria, and they can basically tell the FMCSA enforce this or don't enforce this, and that's what they did, I think it was back in 15, where they told them, oh, it's no longer now the service criteria for an English-speaking driver to put them out of service. They thought that was, you know, offensive, if you will, to put it nicely, but as that other gentleman said, we've had a lot of foreigners in this country driving, and I'm sure a lot of them are doing it legally. But if that statute that I quoted, they are not able to read, write, and communicate in the English language in order to converse with law enforcement, public officials, and the general public, and to be able to fill out reports and read signs, they should not be driving a commercial vehicle. Period.
That's right. And that's what the Trump administration is working to do right now. And I'd be interested in hearing more about what's being done in Montana to help enforce this or crack down on it, from a law enforcement, especially DOT style perspective. But Jim, before I go back to John, the Joker from X here with us as well, Jim, give us just your take on what you see and what you hear in Montana and how big this foreign driver, again, whether legal or illegal, just foreign drivers and non-English-speaking drivers, how big of an issue it is in Montana alone.
Well, first of all, I can tell you for a fact the state of Montana requires proof of residency in order to obtain a commercial driver's license. You have to have a birth certificate. If it's a foreign birth certificate, you have to have proof of residency, whether it be, you know, your I-9, your work visa, your green card, whatever it is, you have to have that in the state of Montana. A lot of states do not have that in place. Montana already does. Now, as far as foreign truck drivers, there's, I'm not going to name the trucking companies, but there's a lot of them that go back and forth across Highway 2 up here that look, just like John Jackson said, identical to the gentleman that was driving in that horrific crash in Florida. They're coming out of Canada. And those particular motor carriers are Canadian motor carriers that run across Highway 2 in the United States. And there's many other companies, too, but we see them up here on Highway 2 all the time.
Very interesting. All right, hold that thought. Yeah, we got to jump to a quick break here, but I want to get John Jackson's take on this. To me, this is also another example of a narco-tyranny where, hey, legal aliens, people violating the rules, no rules for you, but everybody else, tyranny. Independent truck drivers, tyranny. Stand by.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I want to go back to Jim Vierhoff here for another kind of quick back and forth, and then we'll go to John Jackson for his take. Plus, I caught up with John during the break. John's got some very interesting breaking news on this very front, on this very topic that we are talking about when it comes to illegal alien truck drivers in particular. But first, back to Jim in Malta. Jim, again, thanks for calling in this morning. I know we tried to connect earlier, but even better right now. So all our friends across the High Line can hear you. So, yeah, what else do you want to say on this front about, you know, these illegal alien truck drivers and foreign truck drivers in particular, and in terms of maybe what needs to be done, or maybe weigh in on the thought that I sent us with to the break there, which is anarcho-tyranny, where, oh, we have all these rules for you, the independent owner-operator truck driver, all these regulations that California is going to put in place on you to drive you out of business, to drive up your cost, to drive you off the road. But illegal aliens, foreigners, anarchy. Anarchy for them, tyranny for you. Your thoughts?
Well, there's been a scream of driver shortage for years, usually promoted by the American Trucking Association and large motor carriers. They've got the deepest pockets, biggest voice in Washington, and that is a farce. There are 450,000 CDL holders licensed every year, you know, and obviously California is licensing ones that they shouldn't be, but, you know, if these larger motor carriers pay decently, you know, had better working conditions, that would help a lot. But it makes no excuse for violating the law, that's for sure. But, you know, if they can put a warm body into the seats of those trucks and keep them moving, that's how they make money. And a lot of them just don't care. They'll put whoever they want to in behind the wheel. And unfortunately, you know, it's this tragic event, which just made me sick to watch and just broke my heart, you know. The lack of disdain in that driver and emotionless as he made the move. And I watched that video several times, and you could see that vehicle coming through his driver's window. So obviously, you know, making legal turns, didn't use his mirrors, et cetera, but then tragically took, you know, the life of three people because of it. And it's just disgusting. And I wish, you know, the feds would crack down on these motor carriers that that bring drivers into this country like that and let them operate on our roadways.
And sadly, we've seen fatal accidents like that. Similar situation here in Montana involving foreign truckers and just heartbreaking situations. Well, Jim, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your insight. Thanks for all you do. All right, Jim, yeah, thanks for calling in. Okay, John Jackson, so, you know, one of the things that Jim in Malta talked about was he said, hey, the guy that John Jackson just described seeing all over the Three Forks rest stop, for example, in Montana, he said, oh, yeah, you just described a lot of the foreign drivers we see driving all across Highway 2 on the High Line of Montana. He said a lot of them are coming in from Canada. Now, the challenge there is, okay, how do we know if they're truly a Canadian citizen or not, especially given how crazy Canada has gotten under the left-wing leadership there? But immigration status in America, you've got some breaking news on that front.
Yeah. ICE is apparently now considering having agents and checkpoints at the way stations out there on the highway. You know, your big rigs pull in there to get away, And there's the Iceman. Hey, you know, let me see your ID. Let me see your identification. I can't even imagine what would happen to the workforce out there of drivers if they did this. You imagine the amount of them out there that are illegals. I bet you the number would surprise even us.
Yeah. Well, and I was wondering, too, you know, driving across Montana on the interstates, and you see is it the motor carrier law enforcement? I apologize if I'm getting the exact terminology wrong, but you know they're like the highway patrol for the big rigs out there. And I saw one guy kind of sitting, you know, in the middle of the interstate just like a highway patrol trooper would. And so, I wonder what authorities they have in terms of checking immigration status and assisting to enforce this English speaking requirement as well. And then what's the handoff like between them with law enforcement, et cetera?
I doubt any. I get the feeling those guys are purely backup for people that are stranded or have a problem out on the roads. But I want to make one more comment about these guys. What I've noticed over these past however many, you know, 5-10 years is the quality of driving out there by truck drivers in general, and it's probably because of these illegals, is just horrible out there. Aaron, you know, Montana interstates, right, are not too crowded relative to other areas, and you can have an open stretch of road out there where there's hardly anybody around. These people, you're coming up on the fast lane with a trucker in the right lane, they will pull dead out in front of you as if they, I don't even think these guys look in their rearview mirrors anymore, and they will also pull dead out in front of you on a hill and stop all traffic behind them while they go that 64 miles an hour up the hill. As you know, we have a lot of hilly interstate areas in this state.
Well, John, I don't know about you, but I know you were in Afghanistan as a federal law enforcement agent. I was over there with the military. You remember the jingle trucks all jingled out? You know, because I was on the KG pass, but, you know, close to Pakistan. So it was a key infill route from Pakistan. And so, man, we saw everybody driving those jingle trucks through there. And some of these big rigs, I thought I was back in Afghanistan. I was about to start speaking Pashto for a second. You know, it was like, man, here we go. We're out on patrol.
I searched a lot of jingle trucks in my day. I don't know about you, Aaron, but did a lot of searches. Yep.
Oh, man. You know, by the way, now you got me distracted. You know what I always thought was crazy about the jingle trucks? You know when you'd see the nomadic families coming through? I don't know if you'd see it down where you were at, but you'd see the nomadic families coming through the why am I thinking? I'm forgetting the specific name for the ethnic group, but, you know, the Pashtun families that would they'd bring their sheep and their goats up the mountain pass driving, and they'd drive the jingle truck, and then a lot of people would be walking next to the truck and shepherding the sheep. I always thought it was crazy. It's like, the men were sitting on the truck, and then the women, even pregnant women, were forced to hike and walk up the mountain. I was like, guys, shouldn't you let the woman catch a ride? Shouldn't you be out walking? It was just a, you know, random observation on the other side of the world.
I can't even imagine riding in one of those things through those mountain passes, because, as you know, Aaron, those things are put together with chewing gum and baling wire, right? And so, I mean, what are you going to be doing when you're going down the other side of some steep decline and the brakes go out? You know, which happened all the time. Those things are broke down all the time.
Oh, man, and those passes were crazy. KG Pass could get crazy after a snowstorm, and then it melted in mud. I think they paved it after we left. But yeah, speaking of jingle trucks, I you got to keep morale up when you're in a place like Afghanistan and on a deployment away from your family and friends, but with your brothers at least in the meantime. We created these bumper stickers that we threw on our Humvees, and one bumper sticker that I created, I put a photo of a big rig on it, and then I said, my other car is a jingle truck. Yeah, so I got a kick out of it anyway. You know, I don't know if anybody else did, but I did.
You know what? We always knew you could, most of those drivers, when you encountered them, either have a look of friendly, you know, a smile, or afraid.
Yeah.
But then that 1 out of 10 you would encounter has that death stare.
Yeah.
That stare of hatred. And that's how you know, here's our guy. This is our guy right here.
The other bumper sticker I created, I don't think that went over too well with the public affairs folks. I think they eventually said, hey, can we not do those bumper stickers anymore? My other bumper sticker was, my child is an honor student at a Mir and Shah Madrasa. They didn't like that one too much. So.
Allahu Akbar.
Oh, man.
Allahu Akbar.
Oh, man. But, oh, yeah, anyway. All right. You can't be too serious, even when talking about these serious things. But, you know, as you know, that's how you get through tough situations.
Well, Aaron, you know that bumper sticker is going to be just standard fare. It's going to be standard issue in New York City.
I was
going to
say, yeah, my child is an honor student at the, you know, the Upper East Side Madrasa. Yeah, we wouldn't be surprised seeing that one anymore, would you? Good night.
No, 100%. 100%. That's going to be standard fare. My child is a university student at the NYU Madrasa.
Yeah, good night. Yeah, man, good point. Let's go to Dana in Billings. Dana, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. Listening to this commentary in regards to illegal aliens driving our trucks, and I, too, have seen the video, and, man, that was tragic, careless driving. But I think we need to be very careful, you know, grouping folks together, because quite honestly, you know, I drive the streets, you know, I'm on the highways all the time, and I've seen some egregious driving, you know, by Americans.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, realistically is we need immigrants. We do. We need immigrants to fill the workforce. And our problem is two things, I think. One is our system is how are these folks getting licenses, right? If somebody shows up to work and they have a license to drive an 18-wheeler, you know, and maybe the company should do some due diligence and take them out and test them, right? I would certainly agree with that. But how are these folks getting their licenses to begin with? And that's where we need to look. And we need to prosecute these companies, schools, that are willy-nilly giving licenses out to unqualified drivers, regardless of where they're from.
That's right. Yeah, call out the companies that are hiring these guys. Yeah, good point.
And number two, I think, you know, when it comes to immigration, we need some serious reform, you know, with today's technology. It shouldn't take folks years to become citizens.
Yeah.
And we need to speed up that process with today's technology. I think we can do that and get these folks. Now, they certainly to drive and whatnot need to be able to read, you know, English. So if they can't do that, they shouldn't even be driving a car, let
alone
an 18-wheeler.
But the point there, Dana, is legal immigrants would follow the law, would follow the process. The illegals right now can just go to California. I mean, you threw out a great question. How are they doing this? How are they getting it? California. And then the Biden regime before that. All right, great phone call, a great number of common sense points there from Dana. Dana, thanks for the call. We got to take a quick break. I want to talk more anarcho-tyranny right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture will stop supporting wind and solar projects on productive farmland. That was announced yesterday by Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins while she was in Tennessee.
For the first time under this administration, we are rolling back all of the taxpayer money through the Biden years on solar panels taking over our farmland. So this is a big issue. I keep hearing from farmers, you know, that the beautiful farmland that's basically being taken off the playing field, and with the average age of the farmer at 58, with so many small family farms closing through the years that can't make enough money, we've got to start making real change with a long-term vision. So this announcement this morning was part of that. We're not going to be buying any more components from China, which is obviously a foreign adversary. So
Secretary Rollins made those comments on RFD TV. Since its inception, USDA's Rural Energy for America program has provided over $2 billion for renewable projects, including solar and wind projects. The agency has also supported clean energy projects for the Rural Electrical Cooperative System. A 2024 USDA study found that around 424,000 acres of total U.S. farmland were affected by solar or wind projects in the year 2020, citing most land remained in agricultural use in some form afterward. I'm Wayne Northland.
Hiring.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm glad that Jim in Malta was still listening in. So Motor Carrier Services, MCS. Yeah, that's the guys I was talking about. that you'll see out there. You know, you think you see highway patrol, but then you're like, wait, that's something different. That's the motor carrier service guys. Jim says this. Where did I put that message? Hold on. Now I got to pull the message back up again. It just minimized on me. He says MCS does have the authority to put drivers out of service for not being able to speak English. And so that's why I think that's why I wonder. It'd be interesting to see. I should put in a call or an email to them, somebody from MCS, or is to see, hey, what are you guys doing? Are you stepping up enforcement here? Are you now able to step up enforcement as a result of the Trump administration now going back to the policy that was on the books previously, right? Anyway, John Jackson, yeah. So I was talking about this book, Unhumans, and it's basically a combination. The book, yesterday on the show, I was talking about this book, Unhumans, and it's a combination of a history of communism combined with exposing the tactics of the modern-day cultural Marxist and the modern-day left in America. Because we talk about this a lot in the show. People wonder, how is it that a rainbow flag-waving, you know, transgender activist in Missoula can be on the same page as a Hamas terrorist that throws gay people off of rooftops in Gaza? How do they join forces? Well, it's because the unhumans, the cultural leftists that want to destroy institutions and transform the country into something else, they find common bond by, you know, through that common cause, right? But in this book, he talks about this concept of anarcho-tyranny that our friend Jeremy Carl and I have talked about before, where it's all these laws for everybody else. Or it's all these laws for the innocent law-abiding people like you and everybody else, but for the illegal aliens and for the criminals, no laws for them, no enforcement of the rules against them. That's why they put the criminals back on the streets, because it's by design. And so to Dana's point about, you know, they make it so hard on illegal immigrants and they make it so hard for legal immigrants to come into this country. And my point is this, is that if you have somebody, if they have to legally be in this country, if they're going to become a truck driver, the legal immigrants will follow the law and learn the language and do what they need to do to be on the road, just like they follow the law to become citizens eventually. But that's not what the left wants. And I know you've got a great point to say about that.
Yeah, anarcho-tyranny is what's been going on now for the entire Biden regime, and it is tyranny through anarchy. They open up, they've been doing this for 15 years, they open up the doors to the jail cell, they set all the animals loose out of the zoo, and then they don't arrest anybody from here on out. And if they do, they take them right in, and it's no cash bail, and these people are back out on the street before the police officer has even completed his police report. And what does that do? That keeps you as the citizen from being able to conduct commerce, to run your business, to walk the streets, to do anything. They are ruling you through tyranny by this anarchy. And it, once again, it's like everything the left does. It is all designed to overthrow this system of government. The New York Times just admitted it the other day in a headline. They was like, we can't do anything with this Constitution here. We got to do something about this.
Yeah, and that's my point, is it's all by design. And I'm glad to see Jim in Great Falls just called back in on the phone lines here as well, because, I think I queued him up during the break, but he must not have been able to hear me, so he's back on. First, let's go back into the phone lines. We've got Sheila. Sheila on the line. Sheila, what's going on? What's your thoughts?
Hey, Aaron. I just wanted to strongly disagree with one of your previous callers a little bit ago. His comment about we need more immigrants to build our workforce. No, we need to get some of these lazy. Well, I guess I can't say that word. Anyways, some of these lazy people that are sucking off the system, the welfare system that my tax dollars are paying for them to sit on the couch and watch TV. We need to stop taking care of people, and when they get hungry, they'll go to work. And that's how I feel.
Yeah, if you got a 20-something-year-old white, woke white liberal male sitting on the couch in Missoula, not working but getting free this, free that, that you have to pay for, maybe they should get off their butt and do the job, is your point, right?
Yes, we don't need immigrants. We need Americans to start taking care of this country, period.
Sheila, where are you calling in from this morning?
Laurel.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to KBUL. Yeah, great to hear from you.
You bet. Love you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, all right, we love you too. Thank you so much. Yeah, John, yeah, Sheila was just saying, look, we don't need immigrants. We need more of these Americans that are, you know, basically sucking off the taxpayers to fill these jobs. But I think we can have an agreement or disagreement on immigration policy. But your thoughts on what Sheila had to say.
Oh, absolutely. We saw that big time during COVID. You remember when this whole section of the labor force out there, when they found out they could double dip off of all that free money that Uncle Sam was putting out there to the tune of $6 trillion, which is crushing all of us and crushing the economy to this day. You remember how then you went around and nobody was working in restaurants. Nobody was working in the stores. Nobody was working in all these different sectors because they were just sitting at home sucking off of Uncle Sam. It's that same kind of probably the personality that Sheila was talking about. I wonder if that's Sheila from X, Sheila from Twitter. She's one of the regular people that follows us out
there. Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't know. I know it's Sheila from Laurel. That's all I could gather was Sheila from Laurel. But, it's fun. I was out in Glendive for the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan, and it was so great. The ladies that were running the front desk for the check-in for the dinner were like, hey, I follow you and the Joker on X. And I was like, oh, man, it's so cool. Because, you know, back in the day, it was like, you know, like-minded folks, especially in rural Montana, they weren't getting on social media and everything like that. And now more and more are getting into the fight every single day. So that's encouraging, isn't it?
You have to. You really do have to, particularly with the downfall, as you can see, of the Montana newspapers. You know, they're all going under. All they do is repeat all the AP and Reuters crap anyway. They're biased. They don't give you the real news or the up-to-date news. You pretty much have to be out here on X. If you want to find out, you know, fairly quickly what's going on out there, this is where you have to be.
That's right. Hey, speaking of Florida, we've got a good news story out of Florida. A guy who grew up in Scobie, Montana. I don't know if you've heard this one yet, John. A guy who grew up in Scobie, Montana is the new lieutenant governor of Florida. He just got introduced by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. So how cool is that?
Very nice. Very nice. I just got some great news this morning is that an old friend of mine, one of my dearest friends, has now been named co-deputy administrator of the DEA.
Wow.
His name is Dan Salter, and much congratulations to my man.
Very cool. Stay salty, Salter.
There you go.
Yeah, very cool to hear. That's a cool title. It's still not as cool as being the Mondakistan bureau chief, though, for Montana Talks. I'm just saying.
I'm still waiting on my senior fellow title.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that takes a lot of work. You got to write a book. You got to write a book first. All right, let's go. I'm glad Jim in Great Falls called back in because I wanted to hear his thoughts on this whole trucking industry conversation, foreign drivers, illegal alien drivers, and more. Jim, what's your thoughts?
Jim and Malta kind of cleared up. I was just going to tell you the power of the MC. And a little bit further than that, you'll notice the DOT number on trucks. And that's kind of your command stair step in the ladder. And some companies go broke and they got to get a new DOT number. But no DOT number is ever reused. So when you're at a DOT station and you go in and they got a newbie there and they start giving you the rigmarole and say, hey, you know, I have a six-digit DOT number. Mine's in the 800,000s and they're over 4 million now. So that kind of shows you some authority there. But then I was going to state that if we quit sending our kids to these worthless colleges and to trade schools and quit paying them to sit on the couch and dig under the couch for Cheerios while they play their video games and go learn how, we wouldn't need as many immigrants. And I'm all about legal immigrants. But so I jump back to the comment John sent about the trucks pulling out in front of them on the hills. And people have to understand what trucks do. And when you're going up a hill like that, you back out of it to let a four-wheeler who's headed to a birthday party or to the store that you're hauling the stuff to, that just stops everything. And you want to talk about back traffic up, but there are those, yes, that do stupid stuff where they're both governed at 55 miles an hour and one's at 58, and so he goes to pass the other. But normally, when you back out of that to let some four-wheelers go by, you want to talk about backup traffic. And to put it in perspective, when you pay a year for fuel,
you got a dozen vehicles.
For every mile an hour over 65 miles an hour a year, it costs you $10,000 more in fuel. So, you know, you got to give the truckers a little bit of respect on those hills. You know,
that's right.
They're got to get to somewhere. So,
if they need to get around, let them get around. You can give it, you know, 30 seconds and then move on your merry way once again. Good reminder. Jim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Quick break. More with your phone calls and the Joker next.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we had so many callers calling in talking about this trucking industry conversation that I kind of wanted to batch all them together. Now we got a couple other callers on the phone lines covering a couple of different topics, so I want to get to them as well. But first, hey, yesterday on the show, we were talking with our friends from Warriors in Quiet Waters, and we were talking about Warrior Taste Fest coming up next month. Less than a month away. It's an incredible event. And anyway, we did a ticket giveaway opportunity yesterday, and we're proud to announce the winner of the two Warrior Taste Fest tickets is Virgil in Belgrade. Virgil Sheridan with Sheridan's Barbecue Truck is the big winner of those Warrior Taste Fest tickets. So if you haven't gotten a message already, Virgil, stay tuned. Stay in touch with our producer, Caden. He should be getting you the message for how to get you those tickets as well. And for the rest of you, if you want to get your Warrior Taste Fest tickets, go to warriorsinquietwaters.org, and there should be a big ticker at the top of the page for you to get your tickets today. Let's see. Let's go to Tim in Billings next up on the phone lines. Tim, what's on your mind here on this Tuesday? All right, Tim. Yeah, I think he's listening through his radio. Tim, are you ready? Go ahead.
Yep, I'm here. Sorry, there's that little delay there. Good morning, gentlemen. So one thing I've kind of been thinking about is, you know, it seems like all of Europe is super concerned about how much give that President Trump is going to give to Russia over these negotiations for peace. And, you know, these are the same leaders who work together with the uniparty elitist slime balls in our government and work with the likes of the George Soroses, the Klaus Schwabses, the Hans-Jörg Wieses, and the Bill Gates of the world that have absolutely zero problem collapsing Western civilization by importing people from the third world whose cultures are incompatible with Judeo-Christian values and Western civilization. They have no problem collapsing their own culture and their own society. And it seems like the thing that they're most afraid of is if the United States and Russia were to form some sort of alliance. And I'm not saying that Putin's a good guy, but you know what? Neither are most of those other leaders. They're all just as big a dirtbag. It's just they're not as obvious and deliberate about it as Putin is.
Well, to your point here, look, we don't like Putin. Putin's evil. What he has done in Ukraine is absolutely horrific. And if Donald J. Trump were the president, that war would have never started in the first place. And as Lindsey Graham said last night, Donald Trump didn't start this war, but Donald Trump is going to end this war. And I'm even more hopeful on that front after the peace summit with Putin Friday and the peace summit with Zelensky and European leaders yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, but you're going to have some give for Russia because, you know, I think they still hold the upper hand, whether they've gained territory or not. They still have more resources and could continue doing this war for much longer than Ukraine could sustain. And I just think that, you know, if people think that this is going to end up where Ukraine's going to come out smelling like a rose and Russia's going to take the brunt of it. It's not going to happen like that.
There is never going to be a perfect peace, but they're going to have to get to peace nonetheless, and that's what President Trump is working on. Yeah, and to your point, Tim, and Tim, thanks for the call. To your point, too, is that, yeah, you look at these globalists, the Hans-Jörg Wieses, the Klaus Schwabs, et cetera. Look, it's not like back in the day where it was West versus the East and we shared the same Western values. There are those, these globalists in the West, who are the enemies of the West, who are trying to overthrow the free societies that make up the West, the United States and many European countries. And so Putin is not a friend, but some of these folks in Europe are not friends either. And so we need to be clear-eyed about who the threats really are here. And I think Donald Trump is eyes wide open on that front. All right, Caden, send us the call from Kat in eastern Montana so we can sneak her on before we run out of time here. Apologize for the wait. Okay, I think we've got Kat in eastern Montana now on the line. Kat, thanks for the call. What's on your mind here on this Tuesday?
Just real quick on the truckers. I've came in...
this is John and Whitefish. Okay. Sorry about that. This is John and Whitefish. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I came across a few illegal alien truck drivers. And nice guys. You know, God bless them, man. My heart goes out to them. But they make a lot of money. These guys that work hard, these guys haul in six figures easy. I'm sorry, but that just should go to American citizens, period. It's a good living. And why are we giving it to people who are not citizens of the country?
Yeah, that's a good question there as well. Now, how did you know they were illegal aliens? Or are you just kind of assuming that they were based off of some signs or what?
They didn't speak English, for starters. And then the one guy who did, he told me he was a citizen of Mexico. He had a ranch down in Mexico, and he ran here doing the hauling, and he would make $140,000, $150,000 a year, but he was a citizen of Mexico. He wasn't supposed to be up here, but nice guy.
Well, and legal or illegal.
They didn't even speak English.
Legal or illegal. Think about that $100,000. Most of that's going back to Mexico.
It was a lot of money.
It's not going.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of money.
It's not going into the shops in downtown Whitefish or the shops in Kalispell, or it's not going into the schools. It's not going into the local community. And, you know, whereas like a Montana paycheck is going to, you know, go to support local businesses, local schools, everything like that. Not in this case. That money's all going elsewhere. All that wealth is all going to another country at the same time. John and Whitefish, hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, Kat in eastern Montana. I apologize. I thought we were getting your phone call in there because I know you had been waiting for quite some time. So I greatly apologize on that front. But, hey, here's the deal. Kat, call back in tomorrow. We're going to have open phones tomorrow. So definitely call back tomorrow, and we'll get you on a lot faster. I apologize. And anybody else who wanted to call in, give us a call tomorrow as well.